Larry Gaines, Reel 8.
Yeah, who tried to hang himself, or who pretended to hang himself, did you say that that was because he was effeminate or something, and that he'd been had his leg pulled about it?
Well, I think it's just that he'd been having his leg pulled, and they were teasing him, you know, like blokes will do for a bit of fun, and of course he didn't think it was funny, I suppose. But we didn't see much of him. He got posted home shortly afterwards. But as I say, you'll get those troubles with the odd ones breaking out, getting up to mischief.
About leave, did you have any special entitlement to leave? Were you entitled to so much leave?
Well, you could have 6 months if you were. If you've been abroad 6 years, you were entitled to home establishment leave, 6 months. After 6 years, but you could still have your fortnight holiday, you know, leave. My mate and I, we had a fortnight's holiday. We went to Lahore, and I had that fortnight at Kashmir.
What did you do in Lahore?
Oh, we just... well, just cruised about in Lahore. It was attractive in one way, because Lahore was right near Sialkot, see, on the plains. And we put up at a hotel, two of us, and we used to have a taxi for 2 rupees. Taxi. 2 bob. Used to take you all over Lahore. It cost you about 2 quid here. And we'd go to Stickles Restaurant in Lahore. That was an English-run thing. And it was a big restaurant, big dance floor, real modern, you know. We'd go there in the evenings and dance around and whatnot. And in the day, you'd go over, walk around Lahore, go up the zoo. Walk around the zoological gardens. There's Queen Victoria sitting up there keeping an eye on you, so you don't go wrong. And apart from that, well, we didn't do much. See, there's not so much to do on the plains as there is up the hills. Now, if you're up the hills and you wanted to go on holiday, or I didn't go on a holiday, not to say... not a fortnight's holiday up there, but you could go riding up there, horse riding and different things like that, which you couldn't do on the plains. If you didn't have horse riding down there, only bike riding, and I didn't want that. Apart from that, we were quite happy.
Which stations did you prefer in India?
Well, naturally, Ranikot, the hill station, was one of my favourites. That was the first one. That was the hill station of Meerut. I enjoyed that. And the rest I liked was from Solon, because you went to Simla. Now, Simla is very attractive. We had a lot happen there. As far as band-wise is concerned, we played at the Tattoo in 35, the King George V,
yes.
Jubilee. Well, we played at the Tattoo at Passchendaele. That's a place just down below Simla itself. And after the Tattoo, next day, the musicians were invited to the Viceregal Lodge. Tea, and we all went up there, and we all marched through single file, shook hands with the Viceroy and his wife, and they took us on tour of the Viceregal Lodge, Simla. But that was I liked Simla very much, because there was a lot to do out there, you know, horse riding again, and it was really a European place, Simla.
Which stations did you like least?
No first one there.
Why was that?
Why? Oh, I don't think anybody likes being barbed wired in, do they? No, it was a terrible place. It was isolated because it speaks for itself, Northwest Frontier. There was the hills and the tribes. And you couldn't go through Khyber Pass without worrying whether you're going to have your head cut off by the hill tribesmen, you know. Apparently it's been going on for years, it's history. What they get up to, you know, tortures. And you get it all told you before you even get into the camp. Different kind of tortures. And
who told you?
Oh, the chaps beforehand, you know, we met. We were relieving, they were going and we were coming. Half of it was pulling their leg. You want to watch so-and-so, you want to watch so-and-so. We didn't believe half of it.
What type of stories did they tell you? Can you...
Well, such as these tribes coming down into the camp, which they never did. Not while we were there. While I was there, anyway. Right. And apart from that, we used to go out of the camp on training exercises, but we didn't see anyone. We'd go out, do our training, come back, and that was it.
Did you, I think you said you told me that on the frontier you even went to the toilet in tubes, didn't you?
Yes, we had to. Of course, although it was a joke, we were told that when you went to the toilet, you were lucky if you sat down and got up still having them, you know, and we said, all innocence, you know. What are you talking about, mate? Still having them. You'll find out when you go to the toilets, and of course we put two and two together, and it was quite a joke. So he said, well, I don't know. The first time we went to the toilets there, we were afraid to sit down on these seats. So I said, to hell with this, you get round the back and keep eye open. So,
was it an army rule that you had to go in twos to the toilet?
Yes, that was the rule. You couldn't go anywhere else unless it was in your own lines. But the toilets, now you take anywhere near the perimeter, the guard room. You were there on guard, you went out with another man. You couldn't go on your own. And trying to sleep with a blooming rifle chained to your waist.
Why was that?
In case the loose wallers got in and took it. I mean, a loose wallah can come into your area, he can come into your room, he can take a pillow from under your head, and you wouldn't know. They're so... Actually, I've never seen one. But they've been there. They've gone past me. I've known it, but I've never set eyes on one. That's what they're like. See, they're naked, they're covered in cheetah fat, they creep about so they can go through a bedroom and take a sheep from under you, wouldn't know it.
Why are they covered in cheetah fat?
To keep the animals quiet. I mean, if they're covered in cheetah fat, nearly every contingent's got their dogs, pets. Well, if it's an ordinary person creeping through, he'll make some disturbance, a dog will grunt. Bark, you know. But if he smells this cheetah fat, they just lay and tremble. They won't move. And he knows that. He's safe as anything from an animal. Dogs.
So did you have any instances where you had stuff stolen from your barracks?
Not from their barracks, no. Nothing was stolen. No. Not that I can remember. We had our rifles chained to the rack. That's one thing he couldn't undo without making a noise, because he wouldn't get in to do it. But then in those bungalows, you see, they were so long. You had these rifles all the way up chain. And at night, you had what they call inline picket. Now, they used to be on duty in the bungalow, in slippers. They used to patrol up and down the bungalow every so often during the hours at night. So nobody could get in.
Was it only on the frontier that you slept with the rifle strapped to you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, nowhere else. But your rifles were always chained and locked up anywhere in India, no matter where you went.
Were these servants in the barracks trustworthy?
Well, when you say servants, like charwalas, they all had their own quarters. You see, the contractor had a big area, his canteen facilities, and all these wallahs were in the same area as the contractor's area was, away from the camp, so they weren't with us. Only when they came in with the char and wads, all touring around the camp, you know, nail cut corn wallahs, massage wallah.
There was a massage wallah, was there?
Oh, yeah.
Who would massage the troops?
Mm.
Did the troops use them?
Yes. Oh, I had them many a time. Marvellous. You think they're going to pull your skin inside out and put it back on again, you know, but you really felt fit after they'd done it. Especially if you've been climbing the cud, you know, training. Short scheme you might be doing, climbing up the cud side and that, and you're really stiff. The time he finished with you, really experts.
You said earlier that you used to ride bikes on the plains. Did you used to buy the bikes yourself?
Yeah, 2 rupee day. 2 bob for the day.
From to hire them?
From Shamsuddin, the contractor. He hired out the bikes. Yeah, that's the only thing you had to ride. Apart from tongas.
Did you go far afield? Or did you just use them around the cantonment?
No, just use them around the cantonment, you know. Want to nip over to the canteen or something like that.
So how much of the surrounding countryside did you see?
Very little. Except if you were going from A to B, from the camp to the cinema. Might be a couple of miles up the road, outside the barrack area. Then you take a tonga. That's the only time you saw it, or if you marched to church on Sundays.
Was the cinema just for the troops, or did Indians use it as well?
Only for troops. It was all British. It's the first time I saw King Kong. Shao Kahn.
What other films did they show?
First film I saw was up Chakrasa, Rudy Valley. You see, what... talking about sport was the way I came by my nickname. You see, throughout the army, I've been known as Larry. Larry has always been my name. But it's before that happened, I've always been known as Purse, family name, right from a kid, and I hated it. And it was up at Chakrasa, 1930, 31, 32, was it? He's up at Chakrasa, and we entered for the intercompany boxing. And I was fighting for HQ drums. And it was at that time that Larry Gaines came on the scene, the coloured boxer. The American Negro, Larry Gaines, professional boxer. He came in the news, you know. And I know I stepped into the ring and the lads was always taking the mickey, as usual, shouting out. And they automatically called me Larry. Come on, Larry Gaines, show this. Come on, you black so-and-so. You know, really having a go. But from that day, it wasn't a case of, we're going to call you Larry from now on. There was none of that. Next morning, I'm going down the to the square or somewhere like that, and blah, oh, Larry. Just like that. Finish.
So your real name's Percy?
Yeah.
You were christened Percy.
So I became Larry from then on. So when we go on holiday, the wife is the only one calling me Larry. Everybody else is calling me Percy.
You said that you liked Bengalis in particular whilst you were in India. And that you said that you felt ill at ease when you were amongst the Pathans. What about other groups of Indians like Punjabis or Madrasis? Did the troops have any special attitude towards them?
No, with Punjabis and all that type, there again, they had their own area. We had little to do with them, not even training. The Punjabis, they were all right in their own way, I suppose. But some you, in your own mind, you didn't mind. Others you thought yourself, oh, I can't stick that. I can't stick that race. There was something about them, you know, you get that feeling.
What was it?
I don't know. I think with them, we got on so well with all we met. I say you can't find really a bad word to find about any of them, because we couldn't have been better relatives than what you see in this country, the trouble you see now. We had none of that.
You mean racial trouble?
Yes. It's a terrible thing, really. I mean, you could go into politics, which I hate talking about, and I'm not going into that, but... that bloke wants his brains tested. Stirring up trouble.
You mean Powell?
I mean, they're as good a crowd as we are. You've got to live with them to find them out. I mean, I can't understand why they... I mean, India's such a peaceful place. And yet they have to come here to be pushed and shoved and spit at, don't they? By these gangs of youths and kids that are about. Don't you live in a peaceful country like that? Although I say peaceful, it's not so peaceful now, is it?
Did you come across any hostility from Indians whilst you were in India?
No, I can't say. Okay. We had a very peaceful 7.5 years out there. We couldn't have had better.
Did you take any interest in any buildings or temples or arts and crafts? Or
well, I
Taj
did
Mahal or
locally, but the Taj Mahal I didn't get round to. It's always been a one big disappointment in my life. But where we went, I mean, if we went up to, say, up the hills again, you'd find places like... these temple places with a statue in, you know, these different religions, and which apparently you were forbidden to go near, or you find yourself with minus one head on your shoulders and all that talk. But apparently now all that's gone. They can go up and open the doors of it and look inside. But we used to treat them with respect. We look at it from a distance, not like they do now, take it for granted. But I've never been in places like harems. It's another thing I've never been in. We've always got the curiosity, you know, why have they got a harem here? I'd love to have a look in one, but it was too risky, dangerous. They were very strict on that, you know.
You said earlier that you enjoyed your time in India. What was your attitude towards leaving when the time came to leave? Were you glad to leave, or did you regret leaving?
Well, I regretted leaving the lads behind, you know, the band, and something that I personally got up myself. It was something that I built up, and they were doing so well. That was the only thing, but... We've been out there long enough to realise, well, I don't know, I have a look at the old countries, you know. We can always come back if we don't like it. And, of course, one big attraction there was me pen friend.
Your wife?
Yeah, I had to come home and see what she looked like, because I'd never seen it before. So, of course, once I was home, that was it. Come back to Dover.
Whilst you were in India, did you meet any white people who were outside the army? Like civil servants or police or missionaries?
No. No. The only people we met was anything to do like, we're all under the one cloud, Indians. Like half caste and family people, like I met in Dhaka. But Europeans, no.
Did you have any special name for half castes?
No. Well, you'd about say half chats, you know. That's the only name I know of. We come to half chat or something like that. But it's not a word to use in front of them. We used to get a lot of them, used to not think, we're coming to half chat. Even to say half caste, you used to feel a bit awkward. What do I say here, you know, kind of business. But they were always likeable. You couldn't help but like them. They'd do anything to help you, you know. But I could never understand how people could fall foul of them, you know, any trouble.
Were there examples where some of the troops did fall foul of them?
Well, not in my camp. I don't know. We hadn't heard stories, any of these types that go out, you know, down the bazaars looking for trouble, that sort. You'll always get trouble
fights?
In the bazaar, yeah.
You'd heard of fights between British troops and half-castes?
Well, I think in any bazaar, you'll find trouble if you want it. Because they're another little circle that's on their own, a bazaar. They don't like people coming out and pushing in their private quarters, do they?
Did you think it was an odd thing or a natural thing that the British Army should be in India?
Not with the history Air Regiment's got. When you think of it, going back to 18-0 Spit, Clive of India. I mean, I know, all right, I'm Dorset's, but I've yet to see a history like we've got connected with India. I mean, we're Primus and Indus. We're the first British infantry to set foot in India. And we've been there ever since. Well, that's going back some, isn't it? That's even before we were the 39th and 54th. I mean, it goes back to Coote and the history of a regiment.
Why did you think that the British Army was in India? What do you think it was there? Or what did you think it was there for? When you were in India, why did you think you were there?
Well, it was one of our empires, wasn't it? I mean, it was ours. Granted, years before, the British weren't too popular. I mean, they were bullies, wouldn't they? I mean, they wouldn't think twice of using a whip on a coloured person. But the years have changed since. But when you go back through history and see what we were, with slaves and what have you, I mean, a tread on a coloured person is a lump of dirt. I mean, that was years and years ago. And really, people turn around and say, why do they hate the British? Or why does so-and-so hate the British? Oh, good God, you've only got to look back through history. They've got reason. But as they grow up, they're born and they grow up, where it's not drummed into them, you know, oh, your father was beaten up by the English, he was killed by the English, or something like that. That's all faded out now. and they don't get reminded anymore as the kids are grown up. You know, that's, I think that's the whole secret. And the time I went to India, it was really peaceful. Everybody liked one another and got on well. But I'll say, I'm glad I went out there when I did, and not before I did, you know, not years before.
So did you think that British rule was a good... when you were in India at the time, did you think that British rule was a good thing for India?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Oh, yes. I mean, everything was there. I mean, if there was bother at all, I mean... well, there couldn't be any bother, really, because we were so intact. Only from Mars on the border, like Frontier, Northwest Frontier, or the Chinese border, you know. That was the only kind of bother, hundreds of miles away. But in India itself, there couldn't be any bother, not like that. We were there, they knew it, and we were happy. So I feel the day we left India, when was it?
1947,
we gave it up. It was the biggest mistake we ever made. But since we've given it up, all you can see, all these countries we've given up of an empire, sooner or later, you look on that box, there they are, killing one another, rioting, carrying on. Never had that while we were there, because we were called out to stop it, weren't we? But no more. They want their own freedom, they want to rule themselves, but they can't. They just got out of control.
Were there any instances whilst you were there where you were called out to put a stop to riots or anything of the kind?
No.
Apart from the things you've already told me.
No, we were never called out to stop any riots of any kind. If there were small things going on, it was between themselves, and we left it alone. If it was serious, we'd soon know. But we had no reason, because everything was under control. We got on so well, there was no need for it.